once you get fellowship going, it's hard to stop. If I was in charge, we'd just do fellowship all the time. That's right. That's what potluck's about. Speaking of potluck, my wife wanted to remind me that if we finish early today, you don't have to wait until 11:30 to pick up your children. Usually you do because we can't get through the lesson, but today it's a little bit different because she knows that I'm irreverent and I'm not very good at time frames and so on and so forth and what have you. So today we're going to do things a little different. Obviously, I've turned the tables on you. And I just want to, we wanted to kind of share something that's been on my heart for a little while is just the fact that there's nothing special about folks on stage except that they are brave enough to stand up here, right? That's the only thing. And so you can be brave too, I promise. So come on. No, I'm just kidding. But we have something really special that we do during the week. And that is, it's called Life Group. And some folks meet at the Starbucks on McCarran and Pyramid, right there in the Raleigh Shopping Center. And we read our Bibles for a few minutes. Me, it's a lot of minutes because I don't read very fast. And then we write down what God shows us. And then we share together. And so my parents are in Virginia, and so I can't get in trouble. If I get in trouble, it'll be like a week from now. No, that's okay. I'm just kidding. They've approved. It's kid-tested, mother-approved, like kicks. Never mind. Okay. Well, if I've spoken with you already, Dan and James and Mark and Nolan, if you guys want to come on up. This is not an all-men's group, but today there's all men in this group. So, yeah. So, we'll just kind of cozy up to the bar here. And what we'll do is, we haven't rehearsed this at all. So. We have two different microphones here. Sometimes I use two. And now I'm in quadrio instead of stereo. I don't know. You can put that one over here. I see what you're doing in the back there, Mark. I see what you're doing, Tom. So, today we read out of, so all of us read earlier today. It was Esther. This happens a lot where we're like, uh-oh, did we read the right thing or not? Yeah. Even while, what was it, this last week? Nolan's like, Luke 14, right? We're like, yeah, yesterday. He's like, whoa, wait a second, Luke 15. But what he brought was really good. So I will just say that God has his hand in all of our messed up readings. But what we're going to do today, we all read earlier this morning and just wrote down what God spoke to us through Scripture. I want to go real quick around and just have each person introduce themselves. And specifically, what do you do for a job? Because I really want to portray the fact that in every walk of life, God speaks to each and every one of us. Does not matter your rank, your race, whatever it is, God wants to speak to each one of us. There's a reason that there was shepherds who were the lowest of the low and kings invited to the first Christmas when Jesus, I don't know. Okay, I know that's weird theologically, but it was Christmas. For us, we call it Christmas, okay? So during that time, the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor were invited to come and be in the presence of Jesus, right? And so that's what we believe. So we'll go ahead and start with James. You want to? Sorry, I just said your name. I blew it. So, but if you want to tell us your name and what you do for a living and maybe just,
Okay, I'm James, and I work with trees. I'm an arborist.
Okay.
So awesome. That's what I do.
Very good. Oh, wrong way. Too short.
What? My name's Mark, and I'm a geologist. I work in exploration for gold and silver, so awesome. I get to work with rocks.
Very cool. My name's Chris, and I'm the janitor here.
Oh, we have always wondered about that. I'm Dan, and I'm a landscape architect.
Yeah, he's Dan. I'm Nolan, and I'm a machinist.
Okay, so you can see, kind of every walk of life, we've got, It's just a blessing to know that God speaks to each one, as I was saying. And I'm sure that if you were up here, you'd probably say that you work at a different job, which makes perfect sense, right? oh, my goodness. How do I get in charge, you guys? I don't know. But, yeah. But I mean, I guess the idea is, like, whether or not, I mean, how many of us up here have kids? I think quite a few of us have kids. Some of us are married. Some of us are not. Some of us... you know, haven't gotten that far or whatnot, and that's okay. So we're just every walk of life. And so we're going to go ahead real quick. Who wants to start off?
I will.
Okay, Nolan.
We'll do the worst one first.
The worst one first.
So you there can is no about
worst
it.
One. And there then... is no worst one.
Okay, so what do we got? So we had, what was it, Esther and then Luke. I got Luke 19. Where I was at, and sometimes this happens too, like we don't, like Wednesday mornings, we don't have anything, like this is all blank, I just have Jesus is serious for my title, it's just, that's kind of it, so then it's like, oh, you kind of process through it with everybody at the group, and ping pong off each other sometimes, but, should I read the whole thing, or not the whole, but my just section, a bunch of
part that stood
okay,
up to you.
All right, it's going to be a lot of reading. Okay, so it's the Mina. So it says, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and people thought the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to give him, to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Minas? I don't know. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you've been trustworthy with a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. Second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here's your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then do you put my money on deposit? Why didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has more will be given, but as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Nice. Yeah. Right? Very Old Testament all of a sudden. So when I was looking at this, it's very familiar, but because we're supposed to find application in what we're reading, not curious thoughts. I mean, those are cool too, but try to like at least walk away with something that transforms you or, you know. And so on this, it was, I noticed the part where he's like, you could have at least just deposited it and just give an interest. And so I see just a very low bar. It's not even, like, anybody could walk into a bank and just put it in there and get something back, and he just would have made it in. But he couldn't even do that. And so for me, yeah, what's that mean for me was be something like, what, am I so, what would you call that, passive, something like that. I'm not doing anything today. And it kind of goes along with actually Wednesdays. And there's a lot of familiarity when we're sharing too. The more you read, the more you pull things together. And it was like, it was about, you know, building tower. And if you don't add it up and you're sure, then you're going to be made fun of by Jesus. And kind of, sort of. And it was like, what am I called to today? Like, what's my cost today? Am I adding it up? Am I ready to pay it? And for this, it's like, am I ready to even just do the minimum? What's that going to look like for me today? And then the other part was that just the very end, pretty serious. like he's going to stand there and watch him. So I thought that's probably my curious observation. out of this is, what a weird way to put it. I want to watch people die. That's a little odd.
Oh, so you're giving it to me, the one who didn't read the instructions. So my page is blank, too, but I thought we were going to do it like here.
Sorry.
But anyway, that's what you get when you listen to the janitor. I got a question for you, Nolan, and that is application, low bar application. What is a low bar application like for a Christian and their own personal mina?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that even just, what's the bare minimum?
Would that be like a lukewarm?
Yeah, that's like, I don't know.
Lukewarm?
At least say, yeah, because the guy that just before him was like, I'll give away half my wealth and I'll pay back four times everything. And you're like, that's not a low bar. That's like the 10 mina guy.
That's my guy.
Or 20. I think he went for 20. I don't know. How do you apply it? I don't really know. Probably just not doing zero. Probably have to jump to another verse where there's fruits and examples of a life that has character built in it, of someone that doesn't deny Jesus Christ at the very least, you know? So what's that? I don't know. Just die for him? Is that what that is?
I was gonna. Can I add to that real quick before
sure.
we jump?
Oh, yeah.
So one of the thoughts that I have is, if you think about the things that God has done in our lives and the things that he has given us, sometimes we have an interest. So for instance, maybe it's for me, it's guitar, right? Mm-hmm. And I could be a lot better, but I do have interest in guitar and something that's interesting to me. And so have you ever had somebody tell you something and you didn't want that input and so you threw it away, you buried it, versus when you get a word from the Lord or you get a scripture or you have an idea and you put a pin in it. You put it kind of back there, and it gains interest. And I almost like cerebrally, like you gain interest in what God has put. So like thinking about seeds that are planted and stuff. So that's one of the thoughts that I had, like as you were talking, is just like sometimes it's so weird how scripture works, because there's like 35,000 layers of what God's speaking. And that's one of the things that we are always like, well, to dovetail off of that, well, to tie into that, well, to jump in there. And just another thought on top of that.
Yeah, maybe the picture is that he's hiding it. Is that not denial? I mean, you just bury your thing like you do, zip.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't
Seems
know.
Like it.
I don't know. So, anyway, just just an example of what goes on in our group. One thing that I feel maybe a little bit that is needed is this whole system is out of the Life Journal, and that we've got them here at the church, and I saw them also at New Hope, and in the back of the Life Journal is the reading schedule, and usually there's two Old Testament chapters and one New Testament chapter, usually. And so this one today is Esther 9 and 10 and Luke 19. So that's where we're getting, that's why we landed on those scriptures. And as is sometimes pretty typical, you look at the schedule and you see, something out of Chronicles and you're just thinking, oh, man, Lord, I sure hope there's something in the New Testament because, I read the Begats and there's not much there. And then sometimes I read the New Testament one and it just looks like words on page. And that's when I have to stop and remember what I'm doing and ask the Lord, okay, Lord, show me something out of here. Even though it looks just like words on a page, I'm here. I have faith that you're going to speak to me through this. So I saw Esther and I was thinking, oh yeah, we should get a lot out of there. 9 and 10. What's in those? Oh, gee, the Jews killing all their enemies.
Yeah.
Great.
And having a celebration.
Yeah. Remembering it in a celebration.
Yeah.
So I read that and I was challenged. I was thinking, Lord, really? I mean, we don't do that kind of thing around here, do we? But then the scripture that I think, and actually back to the Life Journal, there are rules in the Life Journal. We treat them more as general guidelines, but One of the rules is you read the three chapters of Scripture and you ask the Lord to illuminate one verse out of that. So that's one of the things that sometimes it's one verse, sometimes it's a whole series of verses or a theme or whatever. So the verse that I kind of landed on was Esther 9:16, and it says, "Meanwhile, the remainder of the Jews who are in the king's provinces also assembled to protect themselves and get relief from their enemies." And it goes on to talk about how many they killed in that particular situation. But that really spoke to me as a reminder of the importance of gathering together and the importance of being here in church on a Sunday morning. And that may not seem like much, but it just, again, reminds me of that importance. I mean, there's so many ways that we can, you know, connect ourselves to the Word, to other groups, to devotionals electronically. And I've read a lot recently about, you know, there's a whole generation out there that does that and does not do this very often. They don't gather together very often, or even in a small group. And it just reminded me of the importance of doing that. And people are still looking for relationship. They're looking for one-on-one, you know, just interaction with other people. So that's what I believe the Lord is sharing to me about this morning. So,
do you guys want to just go around, or you?
Well, I was kind of gonna, you know, go off. Like,
you're gonna dovetail on that.
I wanted to tie in enough to that one. And you know, I didn't choose this one because he was in a tree. It just happened to work out that way, right? The scripture was Luke 19. Let's go to Luke. Luke 19. Oh, hold on, I'm in Mark. Hold on. Luke 19. Jesus and Zacchaeus, right? The scripture that stuck out to me was, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Now, Zacchaeus, he climbed up into the sycamore tree just to get a glimpse, right, of Jesus. Didn't know who he was. But Jesus told him, "Hey, come down out of that tree. I got to stay at your house today," you know? So the observation is, you know, this guy's a tax collector, right? The most hated of all of them. Rich, you know? And the people are there seeing, oh, look, Jesus is going to stay with this guy. You know, what's up with that? But that's how I feel, you know? Not the tax collector or that I'm rich, but gosh darn, I'm a sinner, you know? Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. So, I am the worst. I am the sinner wanting to know Jesus, and he wants, you know, to stay at my house, you know? And that's what, you know, the Lord just shared with me, you know? So. Anyone? Anyone want to tie into that?
Yes.
Okay.
I forgot. Stereo, yeah. You know, and one of the things, and that scripture was kind of speaking to me as well, mainly from the standpoint that the difference between Esther and Zacchaeus, you know, in the book of Esther, we see that there were enemies of the Jews, but we see also that there were people who are not of the Jewish nation, but because they weren't, you know, they were kind of accepted into the family almost. The king being one of them. I mean, you know, he was not a Jew, but he was kind of accepted into that family. And I saw Zacchaeus as well. And isn't it interesting that Jesus kind of, he accepts him into his family, as it were.
Yes.
I mean, right then, you know, and it wasn't politically correct or whatever. You know, it was just a situation where Jesus accepted him where he was. So it was just, it was another reminder of that as well.
Absolutely. So. Well... when Chris suggested this first a couple weeks ago, the very first, I'm a geologist. I work on a project in very remote northern Nevada, and the very first thought in my head was, oh, Lord, please let my boss send me out for 2 weeks. But here we are. So. So I'm really glad to be here anyway, because it was a really good verse. I mean, reading the title up on was All Creation Will Praise Him, and the one that, of course, stuck Matt with me was the one that mentions rocks. It says, and it's Luke 19:37-39. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. And I thought that was interesting because it's one of the few times that he accepted the praise that people were giving him. I mean, but the point of that, it kind of goes to what Nolan was saying about the minas. It's like we pretty much have the choice, even as Christians, how much we choose to worship God on earth because of our free will he gives us. We can blow it off. We can worship on Sunday or ignore it till the next Sunday or whatever. In my case, to be brutally honest, I've been walking with the Lord for 39 years, but this week I got really sidetracked fighting with God over some petty grievances and sort of it's like, you didn't do what I wanted, God, so I'm going to, you're like, you weren't my genie. You didn't do exactly what, so I'm going to sulk and not going to praise you. But I had to work through that for a few days, and I thank God that he's so faithful to bring us through. I don't have time to talk about, but happy to talk about a couple of things to anybody who wants to ask me about it at the potluck. But the point was, he came back and with the verses, Romans 14:10-12. He says, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So every one of us is guaranteed a one-on-one meeting with God. And this is, you know, just to say what we've done with our life, what we've done with the gifts he's given to us. And so my prayer and my takeaway is that I need to start every day by humbling myself before him, recognizing my life and my eternal life belong to him. Start with humility and praise. And it's not, from the very minute I wake up in the morning, it's not my life. It's his, and I surrender it to him.
That reminds me of, I was listening to a guy this morning preaching, and he was saying, you know, I love to spend time in God's presence, and you may be thinking, well, I don't have 2 hours to spend in God's presence. He goes, but do you have 5 minutes? You know, do you have 5 minutes where you can just give God your day and spend that time with him and just start off acknowledging that we're going to probably mess it up right from the start, you know, but that God loves us so much and cares about us so much. So, yeah, it was interesting because when you were mentioning Mark, even on Wednesday, like, I don't know if I really want to do this because I don't really feel that. And I was like, I'm in the same boat. Like, I don't necessarily want to get up there either and share. Like, just because, you know, stuff just happens in our lives and we start to feel like, I think what ends up happening for me anyways is I start dealing with identity, you know. Am I actually a son of God or just a ding-dong sometimes, you know. And the truth is, like, God's opinion of us never changes. It's our opinion of ourselves and our opinion of God that changes. And for me, when that happens, I start to not care about other people. It's just a really bad downward spiral when we stop, you know. I mean, so, you know, just understand that. And this is one of the biggest reasons why I feel like this is so necessary, is for you to understand, like, you don't need to come to church when you're doing great. That's the time where you get prayer from a friend. Maybe you actually even text them on a different day that's not a Sunday about, you know, about the Lord and say, or about their struggles and say, I'm not having a good day. I would love prayer. Or, you know, even as I was talking before, as we're worshiping and saying, you know, there might be a time where you're thinking, you know, why do I even come here? Well, that might be because you're doing great and you need to pray for someone else. You're actually pretty healthy and you're excited that, you know, God's excited to actually use you and pour out through you. And so I'm just really grateful that you came, Mark. It's a huge blessing because, yeah, Nolan and I were talking about it afterwards. Yeah, and sure. we were like, man, what did you say about Mark?
Like, do you nice. Say anything nice. That's probably what I said.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was just saying.
It's encouraging because it's being so, I know for me, it's scary to share your thoughts, I think. I've been on the receiving end and the giving end of this, where you, like, somebody says something, and you're like, that's blasphemy, and you're like, shoot it down real quick. But it's not. It's just a silly thing. It's like the eye of the needle little thing, and I know that probably everybody's heard that little, what is that? The little parable, scripture. Yes, scripture, but then the explanation is like, if you were a friend, there was an eye of the needle and there was a gate, and yada, yada. It doesn't matter. Whatever you think of that, it doesn't matter, because it doesn't affect your doctrine or whether you're going to heaven or not. And so it gets scary, because if you share, maybe somebody's like, that, or you're wrong, and you get pounced on, or you could be on the other end of that, and there's like no grace and mercy to just be like, yeah, maybe you're a little off, but like it's fine. Like there's time to process. And so in this group, I love being, so far Wednesday, nobody's pouncing, nobody's getting beat up and like, oh, you think that's what it says, huh, well, you idiot?
We're seeing our different perspectives, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes,
then I hear yours and it's like,
mine's not that bad. No, yeah. I'm playing.
Thank you. Yeah, that's why I went first. That's why I went first. You're welcome. Right. Everybody else can get like pumped up.
Exactly. And isn't that watching from example and see, like being able to grow from other people? Like, oh well, if he can do it, I could probably do it. You know. And so I remember Nolan, you just saying things like, we were. I don't even know. You were calling me to encourage me.
Oh yeah.
And then I was like, hey, just be in prayer for Mark. And then you were like, Mark encouraged me every time I see him. Like, that's what you said. And 100%. I was like, me too. Like, I'm just so encouraged to actually, like, hang out with him, because he's always encouraging and helps me want to follow Christ more. So that's how I feel about you. I'll stop now. Yeah. I'll stop. Okay. So any other thoughts before? Did you want to say something? You look like you want to say something. You always want to say. No, I'm just kidding.
My train got derailed.
Okay. I'll share real quick. So I got Luke 19, 5 through 10 as well. And I'll be honest, a lot of the time when I get there, I read so slowly that I skip the Old Testament, just because I'd like to actually share on the same passage of Scripture. Like, I'll probably be done by next week, you know. So I'm very slow, so usually I'll jump on that, or I'll pray and go, okay, God, what chapter should I read? Okay, and so, you know, out of the three chapters, I'll try and read one. If I can do that, I'll read another. And usually by that time, God's got me something and I'm starting to write something down. So even this morning, you know, knowing that we're going to share this is scary, you know, and so you're thinking, man, I hope you give me something, Lord, because if you don't, this is going to be a really short message, you know. And just to give you an insight, that's how pastors feel all the time. But Luke 19:5 through 10, it says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. First of all, that was a word of knowledge, because Jesus, I don't think, knew Zacchaeus. He was just walking through the city and was like, hey, you, yeah, you, Zacchaeus, come down. That would get my attention right away. If I'm like, I want to see this guy who's walking through a city. And then he's like, Chris. And I'm like, what? You know, how do you know me? So quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Can you just consider yourself Zacchaeus and think about Jesus talking to you for a second? Because that's how I was kind of seeing it in my own life this morning. So he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. And my first thought is, I have a puppy. There is doo-doo all over the place. There's hair. Like, it's just not good. And so, like, the idea of Jesus coming to my house today would be embarrassing, right? But Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Excuse me. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. So my observation through that, so one thing we haven't talked about quite yet is a lot of the way that life group works is, you know, we follow SOAP, scripture, observation, application, and prayer. So we write down the scripture, we observe what we write down what we observe, what we notice, and then we apply it to our lives. Application, and then the next thing, we pray through it. And so I follow the rules, I guess. So because you didn't. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you did. Good job. Hey, okay. We'll talk. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe we'll start a new life group. No, I'm just kidding. So my observation is that Zacchaeus needed help. With all his wealth, he wasn't satisfied. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. I imagine it would be, I imagine what it would be like to be a sinful person, to have tried worldly pleasure only to feel even more empty. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. Jesus was also looking for Zacchaeus. Jesus in that moment could have pointed out all Zacchaeus' shortcomings and disgusting sin, but instead Jesus has invited himself into Zacchaeus' mess. Now we see the accusers of Zacchaeus. Do you ever have those people in your life that won't let you forget your sin, who won't let you forget your old reputation? So for me, for my application, I wrote down, Jesus wants into my mess. He wants to come to my house and he wants to spend time with me. He probably doesn't approve of my life, but his presence, his desire to know me makes my heart full. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. All I can do when I realize this is worship him with everything I have and am willing to give up anything when I become aware of his presence. So my prayer today was, Father, help me be more aware of your presence often. Help me recognize when you're calling my name. Thank you for caring that much for me. Thank you for caring that much for all of us. Amen. And so, you know, sometimes you get a great one. I feel like the Holy Spirit, like, gave me a big one. That might happen, I don't know, like once every month. But in all honesty, you know, I mean, I guess if you're working maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, depending on how often you spend, you know. But I guess what I'm saying is there's sometimes when I'm finished reading, I'm like, huh, and, you know, I don't have anything. But I guarantee you that it is so healthy for our brains and so healthy for our spirit to get the word inside of us. You know, I remember Bill Johnson says, he was like, you know, I don't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday, but I know it nourished me. You know, I know that it actually gave me nourishment. And so that's a thought to have, you know, as you go forward. Maybe you don't remember what you read in Scripture. Maybe you don't remember what you read a week ago, but it still nourished you. It's still in there, and it's in the bank, ready to gain interest, right? And so that's how the Lord, God just ties it all together. So any other thoughts or comments, amazing anecdotes? We don't have rival prayer groups today, because usually we have that when we're at Starbucks. We're like, who are they? You know, there's a bigger, there's like a big old posse from some other church. We're like, they took our spot. Should we run them out? No, we won't run them. No, I'm just kidding. But it is actually cool and encouraging to see other groups like spending time and encouraging each other in the word in public. It's such a blessing. But if we don't have anything else, I'll go. Look at us. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Raise your hand.
I do have one.
You didn't raise your hand. I'm just teasing. Go ahead.
My hands
go
are
ahead,
full. I won't be able to hear in the mic if I raise it.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay. You know, one thing I just wanted to touch on is, as you could tell, sometimes the dovetails and the add-ons will take our conversation longer into the morning, and a lot of times the prayer part of the SOAP acronym will not. We won't quite get there. But, you know, and our group meets at 6:30 in the morning. And so that's sometimes a little challenging to get there at 6:30 in the morning, at least for me. But through that challenge, you know, we build relationship amongst those here in the group. And, you know, Mark will come with a burden and we'll pray for, you know, it'll allow a specific opportunity to pray for him before we leave. So that's just one thing I really wanted to emphasize in meeting with our small group. We build that relationship and we start to, or it allows that opportunity for us to hold each other up in prayer with different challenges or burdens or, you know, whatever it is we're going through life. It's really nice to be able to do that with a smaller group. So, and like Chris mentioned, his mom is usually there making sure we don't get too far afield, and your dad actually shows up occasionally when he's not
sleeping.
No,
he's
somewhere else working hard.
Out of town.
Out of town, yes, something like that. So,
yeah. But one other thing is that, you know, we share all this. Mostly what I want you to get at is life group is great, but that God can speak to anybody. He can speak to every individual. And I like what one guy says. Somebody asked him, you know, what's the best Bible? What's the best version? And he goes, the one that you actually read would be a great start, you know. And so it's a way to get into the Bible. And honestly, the more I spend time with these gentlemen and brothers in the Lord, and we pray and seek the Lord together, the more I want to do it on my own because I realize that God speaks to me. And so I just encourage you. You may want to come to the 6:30 on Wednesday at Starbucks, or you may want to think about, I don't need to wake up early, I'm retired, or I don't do early mornings, or I'm working already early, but maybe some other time of day. Like, it's just such a blessing to be in fellowship with other believers. And so I just encourage you, you know, you don't need a pastor there. You do need an arborist. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm teasing. But you could probably, another person would be good.
But the main thing, though, is coffee. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I don't actually drink it, but it's good. It's decaf is nice. But I'm already like this all day, every day. So if I have caffeine, it overclocks my system and my head falls off. So, yeah, anyway, I hope that you were encouraged by today. How many of you guys got something out of something in a scripture that was shared or read? See, and so I just encourage you, you know, maybe that's not it. So perhaps if you didn't get anything out of this morning, perhaps this afternoon you can read through Esther 9 and 10 and Luke 19 and see if God speaks to you for yourself. Because as much as we can share, there is nothing like hearing God personally in your life. And so I just encourage you in that.
He will. He will. You know. Oh, I just wanted to share this real quick. Sometimes, you know, I'll get to class. Is it class? Or I'll get to our meeting, you know, and the same thing happens. I'll read Esther 9, Esther 10, and I'm just so, like, waiting, you know, with expectancy. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. When I'm not waiting or expecting anything, boom. Hello, you know, it's just, it makes itself bright, you know, and then the pen just goes. So.
Yeah, God highlights it, and yeah, it's awesome, you know. I'll just encourage you, too, if you don't already read the Bible with a notebook or something next to you, do that, because then you're actually showing an interest that God could actually speak to you, and you know, for me, I mean, there's those times where I'm driving in the car, okay, I've got a few minutes after I park, I'll read a little bit of scripture I, you know, forgot to read this morning or whatever, just to get it in me, and you, maybe I won't have a notebook or something, but a lot of the time, God really has important things to say. And I'll tell you what, if you were sitting with somebody that you really respected and they started to share things that they wanted to tell you personally, I bet you'd write them down. And I bet it's even better when you write things down that God is speaking to you personally. Amen? Awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and finish up and enjoy a wonderful potluck. There may be some, we might need some help setting up some tables and chairs over in the youth room. Please stay if you can. We'd love to have you. There's plenty of food. And let's go ahead and pray real quick. Yeah, I've prayed so many times. No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say, if someone else wants to pray, I don't have to be the one to pray. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So if you say, excuse me for interrupting before you speak to me, because I'm on. All right. I'm sorry, that was a terrible joke. Oh, really, really quickly, before we pray, I'm sorry. I just want to, you probably noticed we have a phone set up. We're going to get better at on this tripod here. We're going to get a little bit more technologically advanced, but our Battle Mountain Church that we adopted, we are streaming the service to them on the phone. So welcome, guys. We're glad you're here. And just in case you're wondering why there's always a phone up here in front, so yeah, just be in prayer for Battle Mountain. We love them, and we just want to see them continue to grow in the Lord. And we're just so blessed that they let us be part of their lives. And so yeah, did you have something else to say?
Yes, I had one other announcement as well. Pastor Ted mentioned to me that Peter is still here. The good news is you can talk to him about his adventures in. Somewhere. He was. The name of which really has just drained out the back of my head. But anyway, so I expressed my surprise. I thought, oh, isn't he going to be gone yet? Kind of tying into the minas again. So it does tie in. Pastor Ted reminded me that, you know, there are a lot of people who pledged support. And that's great and everything, and the Lord knows your heart, and that's great. But the rest of us don't have the whole Christian mind meld thing going on. So you actually have to get online and do his support, you know, and officially sign up and get squared away with that. And if you have any questions, I'm sure you can ask Peter about it. But just a reminder and encouragement for those of you who are thinking about supporting Peter on his mission trip. You actually have to get online and do it. So that's, you have to actually take that step. And that, I think, gets back to, you know, the Lord gives us gifts that we can use to partner with him in his work here in this world, which I find to be absolutely amazing. So just an encouragement to go ahead and take that step and actually make that commitment officially. So,
online to where? Where'd they go, Pete? On Facebook or Gunfoot? Okay. Through Cornerstone, so you can if you don't do online, you can definitely do to the church, and they'll get him what he needs. As it comes, or however that works. So, yeah. All right. Well, let's pray. Prayer teams, if you want to start moseying on up. If you need prayer, these folks just love the Lord, and they believe that God can do things in their lives, in your lives as well. And so come on up and get prayer if you like. So we will go ahead and pray, and then prayer, and then we also have our potluck. So, Don't be afraid. There's plenty of food. You can get prayer before the potluck. There's always plenty. All right. Lord, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this, the time that we get to have together and just spending time and worshiping you in unity and giving you honor and praise that is totally due your name, Lord. May we honor you and praise you more and more in our lives each day. God, we are just so blessed and just want to thank you that Battle Mountain is with us, and we want to just pray your blessing over them as a congregation, as families, as individuals in the Battle Mountain community, God. Would you just pour out your love, your spirit, and your blessing on them, Father God? And would you also bless Jerusalem, Lord God, and protect Jerusalem, Father? And thank you, God, for each of us individually. I pray that we would grow in relationship with you today as well as every day. May we grow closer today than we were tomorrow, and closer tomorrow than we were today, Father God. And we just love you. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Come